Never mind.
Michael, good to go?
Michael's good to go. Luke is not good to go, which hurts us. He's injured his right toe, sort of like a turf toe type thing, and we're going to rest him tonight.
You'll miss him defensively.
We'll miss him very much defensively. We miss him all over the place. You know, it's defensively with Kevin Love type matchup first comes to mind. But, you know, that's the way it goes, and we'll go with our young guys and try to get it done by more committee, I think, than the individual matchup that he naturally would have with Kevin Love.
Who will you start?
We're gonna go with Henry. And so we'll try to, you know, have a more sort of stable lineup. I think there are dangers with that, trying to find Kevin in early offense and a bunch of other things. But no matter which way we sliced it, you know, we felt like that was the lesser of a few evils, and we're going to go with that. That group has played with each other before, and maybe we can start with some semblance of composure and start with probably a better balanced group.
When you sit in Erland's like you did the other night, and just because, you know, you didn't like the way he was going, and you said it's better for him to watch, when do you talk about that again? Do you go back right to him? And
all the time. You know, I think coaching is always about relationships, and it's especially about relationships when you're losing and you're trying to develop and grow people. They have to understand why and how and what do we expect. And so I try to go overboard in communicating as much as I can with all of our guys. In New Orleans, it's all about his motor, you know, and I explain this is what I think playing hard is. It's running as hard as you can one way and running as hard as you can back the other way. Let's just start there, transition offense and transition defense and a bunch of other things in between. But we talk about it fluidly and regularly of what I think energy is and what we expect from him.
Is he inconsistent with it or just bad at it?
I think he's inconsistent because his mind wants to do it, but you can just see his eyes spin sometimes with over information, really. He's trying to process everything at warp speed, and he can't at this early stage. And really, as I've said to everybody here, we have a vanilla system. It's not like it's calculus with what we're doing, but it's still new to him. The NBA is new to him, and so at times you can see he wants to please, he wants to do the right thing, but sometimes it's, you know, paralysis through analysis, and it doesn't help him. And so we have to let, hopefully he doesn't analyze too much and let his instincts prevail.
Fred, when you look at the Cavs, they bring three top guys together. They've had their ups and downs. Does that reveal anything to you about the nature of either team building or the nature of the competitiveness in the league?
What do you mean by that?
Does it take time when you bring guys? Is there value to continuity, I guess, in personnel?
You know, and so from afar, because I'm friends with David Blatt. I coached against David Blatt many times, and most recently in the London Olympic Games when Australia played Russia. And so you hear different things. First, let's start with he's a hell of a coach. You know, globally, he's a hell of a coach. And to think that things come together really quickly is incredibly naive and a very aggressive yes to your question. Of course, like, why is that so hard to figure out? I don't care what people's resumes say with, you know, gold medalists and Kevin and LeBron and, you know, MVP of All-Star Game and Kyrie, and then you add in, you know, a bunch of other pieces. They've been hit with injury. It's inevitable that type of stuff takes time. They have what they need, and, you know, obviously my relationship with Matt Dellavedova, you know, is one of high regard and high respect, and they got a tough, competitive person there too. So it's talent plus some character that they are privileged to have on their team.
Brett, how's Hollis doing, and who's starting at the two?
Hollis worries me because he has been out for, it seems, an eternity right now. He's lost 20 pounds. Think of that. It's sometimes I wished I could get that illness. You all of us. And so, you know, the reality of how soon he can come back and how you try to expedite that is dangerous. And so we have to go really slowly with him. And that might involve going down to our D-League, you know, and playing some D-League games and getting basketball back in his blood. You know, I think it correlates actually with his weight too. Like, you gotta groom him and bring him along slowly. I've learned when we don't have him, you miss his ability to shoot. You know, we are heavily challenged making shots, perimeter shots, threes especially, and we miss that.
Is he coming back?
Well, just what we did before, we'll, you know, we'll, same group.
Is he working out, or is he still down and waiting to come up, or is he building back up?
He's done a little bit lately when he came back home. You know, he's done a little bit, but it's still really slow. As you can all imagine, I mean, that's to go back and play NBA basketball after you've had that sickness and lost that amount of weight is going to be, I think, a longer process than we might all think.
And still was the upper respiratory?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did Joe look? You haven't seen him in a week,
right? He looked good. You know, he looked good. He got out. He did all the things he needed to do physically, you know, being with the trainer and strength and condition people. It was good to see him.
Did he lose 20 pounds?
No.
Do you want him to get that signal?
Well, I told Joel, both he and I are going to go rub our head on Hollis's pillow at home and, you know, maybe get going where we both need to go.
Are you satisfied with the progress of Embiid for what you see? Any progress at all?
Oh, yeah. For sure, Jack. You know, like, and it's hard to sort of like pinpoint anything. I just feel like now that he's been able to go back on a court, you see a whole different life and a level of enthusiasm. You know, the challenge is always going to be physically to make sure we get him streamlined and thin. You know, as thin as his frame can hold up. And so that's our focus right now, is just zeroing in, zooming in on his health and especially his diet.
Brett, aside from the X's and O's, the world that he came from and the players that he came from, David Blatt, is there an adjustment to just NBA personalities, NBA egos? And
most definitely. Yeah, we know that. And the thing that sticks out is you think basketball is basketball is basketball, and it's just so not true. The NBA is a whole different world, from language to referees to strategies to calls to all that, you know, and let alone the talent. And it's just, you know, it takes time. It just takes time. It's not anything that any of us have been used to until you actually come here. And so it's all those things all swirled into a fantastic league and just amazing environment, coaching the world's best players, and that is a challenge.
Brett, how far does it go back, coaching against Blatt? Any stories that you remember?
I remember coaching against him in Istanbul, coaching not against Russia, but hanging out with him, trying to figure out how to guard Dragic. They had just played Slovenia, and he had really encouraged double teaming and blitzing him. And I remember looking up the scoreboard, because you just want to be macho and beat our chest, and we were down like 30-8 or something like that, because we just got torched. We had no chance. My Australian team is, you know, 8 or 9 bartenders that just played hard. And we worked our tails off, and I loved coaching them, and they just played with such unbelievable spirit. But we had a hard time double teaming Dragic, so I remember him a little bit for the wrong reasons there. I've just had great respect for him over the years. I've seen all of his, you know, teams when he was coaching, not even on the national scene. Saw him coach with all the great European teams. And because of his Boston background and because he was roommates with my college roommate when they were imports playing basketball in Tel Aviv many, many, many years ago, I've known of David for a long, long time.
Now thank you, guys.